It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
The editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area, Jim Kawakami.
Jim Kawakami, who has covered the NBA for over two decades.
It's time now for the TK Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Jim Kawakami here, TK Show, recording from the home studio. This is Wednesday morning, a couple days before the Warriors report to training camp. It's super early, man. It is super early, but it has become a tradition, a very, very good tradition. We usually talk to the head coach of the Warriors right before training camp. And guess what? The head coach of the Warriors is Steve Kerr, and he's on the line right now. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in the middle of football season, by the way, which has just started. I don't know what the NBA is doing here, but it's spinning my head a little.
Just a little bit going on, too.
A little bit. We got some 49ers stuff that we always have 49ers stuff, and I know you're interested in that. I'll try to get to that later, but I know you've kind of had done your prep work for camp, and there's the, you know, coaches get together, maybe some front office people, and you're preparing to kind of start this camp. And it's a weird camp, right? You got a couple days and then you go to Japan and you come back, you got some time, and then you kind of have another camp. But do you have like a theme in your head? Are there things that, like, when you talk over the coaches or maybe with, you know, Bob Myers and others, like, here's kind of the way we're going to approach this time, you know, at the fourth time you're coming, starting a season after winning a championship? Is there some sense of kind of a theme in your head right now?
Yeah, there is. I mean, what makes it fun is that every season is unique. You know, every won a championship the following year was different, and that's how it's supposed to be. And it's our job to kind of help the players navigate their way through that. And I think this year is unique in that, you know, we return a really clear top six, you know, with our starting five plus Jordan Poole. And then after that, I think it's really wide open in terms of roles and you know, playing time. And so and we have a really young group, you know, amongst that, you know, the rest of those spots. A couple key vets with DiVincenzo and Jermichael Green, both of whom I think will really contribute. But the rest of the guys are super young, and so it's kind of you know, blank slate, and a lot of opportunity there for those guys.
Yeah, last preseason you kind of played the veterans, right? You wanted to work Otto Porter and some of the other guys into Bielitsa, into playing with Steph. What does it feel like to play with Steph Curry, Draymond Green? You didn't have Clay at the beginning, obviously. Can you imagine you're going to play the young guys preseason and almost like, hey, these are guys who are going to be somewhat in the rotation, who knows in what order and what amount, but, you know, are guys like Jonathan Kuminga, Jonathan Wiseman, James Wiseman, what am I saying? I'm still football season here. Moses Moody, all the rest. I mean, even Patrick Baldwin and Ryan Rollins. I mean, are you going to get a look at them in preseason, you imagine?
Yeah, well, they'll play a lot in preseason. You mentioned the training camp and the strange structure to it. We literally have three practices before we fly to Japan, and then we have two games in Japan. And though we've made those trips before, they're really fun. There's a lot going on. There's not much practice time. So we're really looking at two exhibition games with, you know, kind of 3.5 practices before. And so that means our young guys are going to play pretty heavy minutes because we're going to really want to ease our vets, you know, into camp. And then when we return, that's our real training camp. You know, we come back from Tokyo, and I think we have about a week before our next game. And so we'll have a chance to get four or five really good practices. And then that's when we'll start implementing some new stuff and really get the veteran guys you know, ramped up and ready for more time. So I imagine the young guys will play a lot of minutes throughout the preseason, and that'll be good for them and good for us, because we'll get a good look at them, and we'll see how it all shakes out.
You mentioned the six guys, and beyond that, it's a bunch of young guys. I mean, you have Jermichael Green, DiVincenzo, the two veterans, I should add them. So that's eight kind of veteran core. But that's a lot of minutes out there, right? I mean, Meyer said it last week, like, there's basically the young guys are going to have to play, at least some of them. In your mind, is it like, where are Kuminga, Wiseman, and Moody, for sure, the three that we've seen? Are they in your kind of loose rotation right now? Do they have to earn their rotation spot? How do those three fit into your plans right now?
Yeah, the beauty of it is everything has to be earned, you know, I talked about how unique each season is. That's what makes this season unique. The first three times we came back from winning championships, the rotations were really set. I mean, we had deep rosters, we had veteran players. We kind of knew exactly who was going to play and what combinations would form. And this is very different. So, it's rare, I think, for a championship team to come back with, a lot of young talent that has a chance to compete for playing time. So I like that dynamic. I think competition is good. It brings the best out of everybody. And I don't really even have a loose rotation. I just look at it as we had six guys who played integral roles in us winning the title, and we know who they are, we know what they do, and then everybody else, it's go time. And, it's right there for you. You just got to go earn it.
And I don't love bringing up like things that have been talked about on the web and all these things. And I know you love those things, but there's been some chatter about Jonathan Kuminga's commitment or where he is. Just generally, how do you assess Kuminga's approach to the game? There was that little thing where he was late to a lifting session and Andre took care of it. But that Draymond brought it up. I mean, Draymond didn't make it public. Is there some sense that you need more from Kuminga? Some sense that, you know, he's maturing into something, that he needs to mature into some kind of, different kind of mentality to earn minutes?
Well, I think the things that you mentioned happened last season. And, that's all part of being a rookie, being a young guy. It's one of the great things about having Andre and Draymond, having these mentors. So that's all perfectly normal. That's what you want. You want your young guys to go through that, to see the commitment that it takes for your older guys to mentor them. And that's exactly what happened last year. JK's had a really good summer. He's done everything we've asked of him. He's traveled some because he's played for his national team in the summer, but he's been working really hard. I know there was that weird report that came out. I think Stephen A. Smith said something about JK, and I honestly, Bob and I, when that came out, we called each other and asked each other, like, where did that come from? Because it made no sense, because JK has been great. He's done everything we've asked of him. He's working hard. I enjoy coaching him. He's right where he needs to be. And it's just, he's got to just keep getting better every day. But we're very happy with his summer and everything he committed to.
I don't know how much you've been at the arena seeing these guys work out. I don't know how much you can be there. But Myers mentioned Wiseman. And I know you guys don't want to keep puffing up Wiseman. You want to see him play, and that's certainly fair. He's had two seasons where we haven't seen him much, but that he's looking good. He's had an actual offseason, right? It's his first real offseason where you can see him building things, where he's healthy and it's not a pandemic and he had a summer league. Do you see growth in him? And like, do you want to like just say, hey, there's something here that we haven't seen here from James in the past?
Well, all of my coaches have been raving about James, and I just got back last week. I was traveling quite a bit this summer, so I haven't seen a ton of him, but I was getting rave reviews from the coaches in terms of James's incremental improvement. What he needed more than anything was to play, and he played a ton this summer, and that's the great news. He played a lot of pickup games. He stayed healthy. His knee feels good. So he's in a really good place going into camp. And with big guys, it always takes longer. The adjustment takes longer, especially when, you know, you get big guys who had very little, if any, college experience. And as we know, with James, that was 3 games at Memphis. So I think the great thing is there's a much better sense of who we are now than when he was a rookie. I mean, you remember his rookie year, we took the approach that let's just start him. Let's throw him into the deep end. And that wasn't entirely fair. And I think, we at times did not put him in the best position to succeed. We were more interested in just getting him experience, trying to speed up the development process. And I think that was, in retrospect, it was unfair to him. Now, in fairness to us, you know, Loon was injured and had some of the nerve issues going, and we weren't sure if he was going to be healthy. And, you know, we were trying to get to the point where we thought maybe James could help us, you know, when we got healthy the following year. But like I said, it was a sped up process. This year, it's a much more organic, natural progression of work. And he's got, lots of time, lots of development ahead of him without the rush to, you know, to be a hugely productive player right away, because, you know, we've got guys who are ready to help us win right now. And for James, that'll be part of the process. And I think that's exciting.
You know, you can just see it like maybe a streamline, like, you know, maybe not so many threes, maybe certainly no mid-range jumpers, just kind of rim run, play defense, you know, work on the pick and roll defense. Can you see like a Wiseman as a just like, here, just get to the basics before you start doing some of the other stuff? Whereas, you know, as a rookie, he was doing everything, right? He was like, you got a lot of talent, just go do stuff. Can you imagine it will be a little bit more streamlined version of what you want to see from him this season?
Yeah, for sure. And some of that will be by design, and some of that will be because he's played more now and he understands what's a good shot and what's not. And he understands that if he's on the floor with Steph and Clay, that they're the best shooters in the world. And, you know, he needs to throw the ball to them if they're open, you know, because there's a better chance of the shot going in. Same with Jordan. I imagine he'll connect with Jordan and you know, they'll put together a good pick and roll combination, and we'll work on that in camp. And so there's a lot of this stuff just comes with experience. And because we're whole now compared to 2 years ago in his rookie year when we were decimated, it'll just be easier for him and easier for us to kind of streamline things and put him in a better position to succeed.
Have you seen much from Baldwin and Rollins? I know they weren't play summer league. They're just starting, or maybe Baldwin started scrimmaging a little while ago. You've been away, but what are your reports on them? What are your sense on what you can, you know, obviously they're young, who knows, they're behind the other three guys, certainly. But just a sense of their games against other personalities. Do you have an idea of that yet?
Ryan just started playing last week, you know, coming off the stress fracture. So he has not had much of a chance yet to make an impression, at least in pickup games. But everyone loves his makeup, his athleticism, how hard he plays. And so we're really excited about him. And then Patrick, all the coaches were texting me, you know, while I was gone, just raving about how knowledgeable he is, what great feel he has. He's just one of those guys who seems to understand the game and move the ball and knock down shots. And I think the biggest thing Patrick is to make sure he's healthy. You know, he wasn't healthy last year during his one college season. He wasn't healthy in summer league. So he's a young guy. Young guys generally, you know, have to learn their bodies and learn how to take care of themselves and how to get in the training room and the weight room and do all their work. So I look at Patrick as somebody with great potential and really excited to see him play. But, you know, in the early stages of his career, probably be hard for him to crack the rotation. You never know. I give everybody a chance, as you know that. But with Ryan and Patrick both, you know, the rookie season is really about figuring out your surroundings and figuring out how to handle yourself, how to be a pro, and
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
So you mentioned your coaching staff. Another year of some changes. And an identified coach who went to coach Sacramento, I forget his name. He had very little to do with the Warriors, I'm sure. But Mike Brown, we're joking, Mike Brown, who coached some playoff games, not just very recently. And we all wish him well. But, you know, definitely some change. But Kenny Atkinson moves to the Leech. I don't know if you've officially announced that, but I assume that's true, right? Jama Malaya moves to the front of the bench. I mean, just, do you have a different chemistry? I know sometimes you like a different chemistry, right, from year to year, to try to kind of change things up a little bit.
Yeah, I do think that it's a coaching staff is similar to a roster, that you need some new blood, you need some energy. I think sometimes change is good when you get a little bit of you know, a little bit of a shakeup. This year with Mike taking the Sacramento, but taking Leandro Barbosa with him. As much as we're going to miss those guys, it affords other people opportunities to kind of move up the ladder and take on more responsibility. So Kenny will be, my lead assistant. He's going to take over the defense this year. He and Chris DeMarco are going to be running the defense. And then, Jama is kind of our chief of staff. He's got Mike Brown's organizational skills and attention to detail. So he will handle a lot of the things that Mike did behind the scenes, and going to be in charge of the offense, and we'll go from there. So we feel really good about where we are and everybody we're returning and the continuity that we have with the staff. And then, a few changes within all of that. It's a good thing.
I think we lost you when you said, who's in charge of the offense? You blanked out there. So who's in charge of the offense?
Bruce Frazier and Decky will team up to handle the offense. And then obviously I'm involved in on both sides of the ball. But I think I feel good about the structure. I mean, we did a similar thing last year where we had two people, kind of a coordinator and an assistant coordinator on both sides of the ball. And I like that approach because you get a really good kind of teamwork that develops between the staff and smaller groups that are working together on certain things. And I like the structure that we have in place. Same structure as last year, but people will be moving around. The thing I love about Kenny is that, he's been a head coach, he's been a development guy, he's been a coordinator. I mean, he's got great knowledge on both sides of the ball, and he's very comfortable on the defensive side. And that was huge. I think, not losing Kenny after we lost Mike last year was that was a big boon for us. I think losing both of those guys would have been really tough. Mike did such a great job with the defense over the years. He was at his best because we handed him the defense and made it his. And he was brilliant. And so we're lucky to have somebody of Kenny's caliber to take over for Mike.
I'm going to, who's doing the rotation sheet, Steve?
That's Jama. Jama will do the rotation sheet. The guy with the good penmanship, seven different colors. So he's perfect for the job.
Yeah, and that's the person I'm going to be seeing. He's going to run up to you, go, wait a minute. We got to get this guy in at the 5-minute mark. Steve, come on now. Let's go. Hurry up. You have, I know we're all going to hear from Andre when Andre makes a decision about when Andre Iguodala, whether he's going to come back or not. Do you have a sense that, lean any way from Andre? Are you expecting him in? Do you have to kind of make sure you're prepared for Andre to be coming in maybe at some point during camp?
He's been in our facility the last couple of weeks with Rick Celebrini and the training staff, and we're giving him every bit of space that he needs, and he's assessing where his body is and what he's going to do, and we're just saving that spot. The good news is there's really no rush because we've got 20 guys, I think, who will be in training camp, and so if Andre decides not to come back, it's not like we're sitting here, waiting to sign someone else. It's like we have the people in camp we want, and we're really, really hoping Andre decides to return. But we'll totally respect, obviously, whatever decision he makes, and we're prepared either way. But I can tell you this: we have a way better chance to win a title and repeat if Andre is on our roster. I think he can still play as he showed last year. And he's just huge for our internal leadership and guidance. And these, we got so many young guys. We need Andre's presence. So I really hope he comes back.
I'm going to ask you about Kevin Durant in a way that hopefully you're not going to tamper and won't tamper. And I know, it's out there. He was on the Warriors. Steph's talked about that there was some amount of, talking about it internally, at least. Steve, did you talk about it internally? Can you talk about, or was it something that you kind of went through? Like, yeah, it's good to know that Kevin Durant liked his time with the Warriors. And, it's a general thought that is good to know. And that's the way Myers put it. Would you assess it that way or any other way you want to?
Well, I can't comment on any of that stuff because it would be considered tampering if I talked about any. What I will say is that it was great to be reconnected with Kevin in the Olympics last summer, and we have a really good relationship, and what he did for this organization, winning two finals MVPs and helping us to become one of the best teams ever, I think, that will never be forgotten. And so there's always that sense of respect and appreciation, and that'll be forever, and that stuff doesn't go away. And so it was fun for us to be in Tokyo together last summer and win a gold medal, be with Draymond. It felt like it was a really good way to sort of reconnect and remember the good stuff that happened.
Another tricky topic, obviously, is Robert Sarver, with the son, owner of the Suns, who you worked for way back when, and has been suspended for a year with obviously behavior that we all can consider abhorrent, was found by a law firm investigating this. Steve, just any reaction to that? The Robert Sarver that you worked for, did he deserve this? And did you agree with the decision? Could you have seen it could have been harsher, as Draymond Green has mentioned? Just your thoughts on what happened with the league's suspension of Robert Sarver.
Yeah, again, this is something that's a sensitive subject. Having been there and worked there for 3 years, I do have my thoughts, but I understand that everybody's going to, see things through a different lens. And so I was interviewed by the investigation. I was asked my thoughts. I shared my thoughts, and it's a really difficult situation for Adam and for the league. So from my perspective, I didn't see the racism that was mentioned. But everyone's going to see it their own way, and so it's a really tricky one for the league from a legal perspective. It's not easy. saying, all right, we're going to just take a team away from an owner. You open yourself up to huge legal ramifications if you do that. And is there enough there? I mean, those are all the questions that Adam and the league have had to ask themselves. And given the, you know, the climate of 2022 and, you know, the culture we live in, you know, and there's now going to be all kinds of speculation and criticism and judgment on everybody. And it's unfortunate for everyone involved. It's just, you know, disappointing for everybody involved.
Well, maybe easier conversation here. What the hell's happening with your 49ers, Steve? I know you are, you have a relationship with John Lynch, a relationship with Kyle Shanahan. You follow it. Some interesting things have happened. What's your take on this season for the San Francisco 49ers as it's already gone crazy in a couple of weeks?
I just feel so bad for Trey Lance. I mean, you know, you read for young players, especially people who you can see are doing the right things and have a good sense of self. And every interview I saw with him, I was so impressed. After the first week, yep. You know, losing that game and that torrential downpour, you know, the way he sort of handled himself was wonderful to watch. And so you root for people like that. And so that's my prevailing thought, is just how disappointing for him personally, and of course for the team and the fans. And you know, they still have a hell of a team. Last week was a good reminder of that. I mean, you know, it was just a dominant game, dominant performance. And I pull for John and for Kyle, and I'll be watching. And, you know, I don't claim to be an expert on any of this stuff, but I'm a fan for sure. And I hope they have a great year.
Just want to wrap this up. I know you mentioned your time abroad. You had a nice off season there, Steve. You got a lot into not a great amount of time. I know your daughter got married. Congratulations. I know you spent time with the Jurgen Klopp and with in Africa. Yep. I mean, just what was your highlight? I mean, your daughter is going to make you say that obviously was an incredible moment, but what are some of the things that you're going to remember about it? And I think we've chatted before, it's one of your last free off seasons for a while, because as the USA Olympics coach, you're going to be busy next season for next offseason World Cup. And the one after that is the little thing called the Olympics. Did you try to take, you know, kind of savor this offseason, knowing what you got coming ahead and what was some of the high moments for you?
Yeah. I mean, not only because of what's ahead, but also what was behind, you know, two straight years of not being able to travel because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I kind of tried to fit several years of lost vacation time into one trip. And so we spent a month overseas. Our daughter got married in France. She and her now husband are studying abroad in Paris, getting their MBAs this year. So they decided to do a destination wedding. The wedding was phenomenal. And then we stayed on vacation for a while. We went to Mallorca for a week, which was amazing. And my sister lives in Cambridge in England, so we went and saw her, and then made a trip to Liverpool to go visit the team and watch them practice. And I got to meet the players and the coach. It was awesome. And then we wrapped it up with a trip to Cairo for Basketball Without Borders. So we spent a week in Cairo and then finally came home. So it was an amazing trip. For sure, the highlight was my daughter's wedding. As you said, I better say that or I'm in trouble. But it was perfect. It couldn't have gone any better. And wonderful trip, and I'm happy to be home and ready to roll.
You got the Warriors, obviously, is right ahead. But when does the Olympic stuff start to really get in your head? So you're like planning out the roster and setting up the infrastructure. Like, this is coming up now, right? I mean, do you start to whiteboard some things, or maybe you already have?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of an ongoing process. You know, Sean Forge and Grant Hill and I work closely together. I had a discussion with Sean yesterday just about potential roster for the World Cup next summer. part of this year. You know, I'll spend, Grant will spend some time, you know, after a certain game, maybe there's a guy we're targeting, you know, I'll make sure I go over and grab that guy and start the recruiting process and all that. But the planning stuff is already underway. We've already got, scheduling lined up for training camp next summer in Las Vegas and exhibition games. So it's an ongoing process, but a lot of fun and something I'm really looking forward to.
All right, Steve, we'll close this with a version of the question I've asked you many times, but I'm always interested, and I think listeners are interested in this too. Steve Kerr, what's your favorite book right now, or just a good book you've read recently?
I just read a book called Killers of the Flower Moon, and it's actually a really sad book. It's a true story. I think, being turned into a movie right now, if I'm not mistaken, but it's about the oil reserves that existed on Native American land reservations in Oklahoma in like the teens and 20s. It's also a story about the modern FBI and how the FBI was formed. Devastating story about how, you know, land and resources were taken away from the Indian tribes there. But incredible book. I mean, really, really well written. It's nonfiction, but it reads like a novel. And as I said, I'm pretty sure there's a movie coming out soon. But it's a pretty interesting story. And devastating story, but one that I had never read about before. I didn't know the story, so I highly recommend it.
Excellent. You get some good recommendations on that stuff. So you have a real good genre there, right? The history that is told like a novel, and that's good. I love that stuff too. So
this one came from Chris Ballard. As you know, sure, a great writer himself and a good friend, and he recommended that one. And so he was dead on. That was a great book.
Excellent. Love Chris. All right, Steve, listen, appreciate your time. I'm sure I will be seeing, although I will not see you this weekend, I will be in Denver with your San Francisco 49ers. So all these merging seasons are a little tough on a general columnist. I want you to tell people that. This is a little tough on me, but I'll catch you when you're back.
I imagine it's a little better though than pandemic sports, where everything is shut down and you gotta make stuff up to write about.
Yes, I'll take this every single time. And you want to make some news at some point, go ahead, Steve. We'll accept that. More things to chew on. I always appreciate that. Thanks for coming on, and we will see you soon, I'm sure. Thanks so much, Steve.
All right. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Got it. That's the show for today, everybody. Thank you.